Yeah, we're finding more and more as I've moved. Like I said, this is my 29th year. You know, we have to continue to evolve on how we educate kids. And the problem with public education is we're trying to do it the way we did it 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. It works for some.
No, it does. Yeah.
For some kids and in a population of kids, it doesn't work. And we're moving into a digital age, with the AI that's moving in there. We just got to continue to evolve and take risk and to try to really, you know what our students need and what are our students interested in and really try to provide the best experience for them for their educational pathway.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Stephen Spinner. Stephen is the assistant superintendent of Berrien Springs Public Schools in Berrien Springs, Michigan. Steve, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
So, Steve, Berrien Springs is a really unique public school. I've talked to some of your colleagues, and I would just love to hear about the amazing things that you guys are doing there.
Yeah, we're a small rural district here in Southwest Michigan. Our on-campus population is about 2,000, and it's been that way for probably the last 15 years. But we've had some innovative leaders before me. This is my 29th year in the district, and I've served all sorts of different roles.
Oh.
That innovation has led to that uniqueness you talked about. So we're a small rural traditional school, but we also are one of the largest providers of virtual education in the state of Michigan. We have 28 centers, hybrid kind of tutor centers across the state of Michigan that serves almost 6,000 other students across the state of Michigan. Most of those students are 9-12 alternative ed students, but we do have a middle school program in Battle Creek. So serving kids all throughout the state of Michigan with all walks of life, it's really kind of an honor and a privilege to serve in this district.
So your alternative programs are three times the size of your regular population of gen ed kids.
Yeah, so oversight is mainly the traditional programming that we have, mm-hmm. and like probably you and I received, you know, the brick and mortar. But we've really been pushing the envelope on, you know, how do we personalize learning for all kids, and how do we improve the student experience? And we really feel like we have learning can look lots of different ways in Berrien Springs, where a lot of traditional districts, it looks the same. And that's okay for a large population of students.
Absolutely, right.
But there is a population out there is looking for something different. And school needs to look different. And the traditional model doesn't fit them. So we've really tried to maximize the options and the choices for all of our students on campus and throughout the state of Michigan.
Very cool. That is very, very cool. So, but your part of it too is you said you do a lot with the traditional students. So what kinds of things do you guys, what's happening in that arena?
Yeah, so on campus, we have 7 buildings. We're kind of unique. We actually have a campus setting. All 7 buildings are on one campus. Yeah. You walk to every building.
No driving, no windshield time.
No, get my steps in, which I need as older as I get. We offer traditional programming, but we also on campus offer a ton of choices. We are a project-based school, 6 mm-hmm. through
12. Oh, nice.
So we have exhibition nights where students can come in and express their learning in different ways. In a lot of traditional schools, it's a written test. We also incorporate this idea that we want kids to prove what they've learned. And some kids, projects, they're hands-on, and that can really engage the learning process for a large population of our kids. We also have a virtual academy here on campus and a discovery academy. So our little district looks like a college campus. We have kids moving from one building to the next. What's unique is like from middle school on, if we have a class that we can't offer because of our size, our kids can move across to the virtual academy and take, we've had kids take American Sign Language. We've had 6th graders take high level math, trigonometry, because they're ready for it.
Yeah.
So in a traditional, we might not be able to offer that in a traditional classroom, but our kids can move across. We have high school kids. We have almost 100 high school kids that are coming to our Discovery or Virtual Academy to take classes that we can't offer because of the size in the you know, kind of where we're at in our location, just because we can't offer, you know, a traditional class. So, yeah, lots of different things. We have a large dual enrollment population. We have over
100. I was just going to ask you about that. Yeah.
We have 112 students that are taking college classes. It's not unique for in Berrien Springs that a student will graduate with their associate's degree before they have a high school diploma.
Wow.
We have a large CTE program here in Berrien Springs. We offer 5 programs, but there's 29 programs in Berrien County that are kids, and there's 140 kids that are 11th and 12th graders that are doing shared time opportunities. Some of those programs, they can get certificates or are ready for the workforce. For example, we offer a 911 class. When they're done with that, they're certified to be a 911 operator. We have a corrections class that we've just started. We piloted it. We're going to be running a pilot. But when that student finishes this class, passes a test, they'll be ready to work in a jail, the Berrien County Jail and Cass County Jail. So lots of different opportunities. We have construction trades. They're actually building a house in our community. So that house will be ready, hopefully this year, for sale. So just lots of different options. We have co-op students that are actually working as seniors. Students that do Math Science Center that go to a local college. One of the uniqueness for Berrien Springs is we have Andrews University, which is an international college in our community. So we send almost 50 students to the Math Science Center. So they're taking college classes at the university. And then we offer the virtual classes for if we can't fit it in our program. We'll offer it virtually at our virtual academy, and kids can actually walk over there. There's certified teachers there. There's mentors, tutors. We have counselors in those programs. So it's a full wraparound services for all of our programs.
So with your students that are, I know you have the online and the virtual school. If they are a traditional student that just wants the virtual, it does better in a virtual setting, can they make that choice instead of coming to the campus?
Yeah. So we have, it looks lots of different ways based on what the students need. We work with families. So,
Very cool.
Sometimes we have a medical fragile student
who
is based on a surgery or a condition, and they may never come on campus, but we're offering virtual program, mentoring, Zoom meetings, tutoring through virtual settings. We really consider ourselves a hybrid program because if a student wants to come in, they can come in. So we have students that never step on campus. We have kids that are in those programs that are here 5 days a week. And then we have kids that are in those programs that, based on what they need, it might be 3 days a week or 2 days a week. So we're really trying to, fit the needs of families, you know, and the students on what makes the best school experience for them.
Yeah. And it's never one size fits all, which is amazing. Yeah.
I need more and more as I've moved. Like I said, this is my 29th year. You know, we have to continue to evolve on how we educate kids. And the problem with public education is we're trying to do it the way we did it 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. It works for some.
No, it does. Yeah.
For some kids and in a population of kids, it doesn't work. And we're moving into a digital age with the AI that's moving in there. We just got to continue to evolve and take risk and to try to really, know what our students need and what are our students interested in and really try to provide the best experience for them, you know, for their educational pathway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's incredible. And you guys are ahead of the curve when it comes to that. I love that because, you know, I've talked to so many people and so many educators. Everybody wants to do what's absolutely best for the kids. They really do. I mean, and I've talked, you know, we stepped into the political as it's such a hot button, you know, for education and everything. And, but I've said multiple times on this show, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I don't care what your political lean is. Everybody wants kids to be educated. Everybody wants what's best for their children. And that's the reality of what we as educators and what you are trying to do every single day, right? So just curious about what your insights are on that.
I think there's obviously lots of struggles in public education, and we could go down lots of pathways there. But, you know, I think teacher efficacy is something since COVID that is really, we've really tried to focus on that. We have great staff, we have great teachers, but it's hard work. Personalizing learning is hard work. It's not a one size fits all. So, you know, just continuing to give our teachers resources and support, and giving them the ability, the autonomy to take risk and to change, that's hard for educators. And so this, this whole teacher advocacy is, do I believe that I have enough to move the needle on all kids? And that is a, that's a heavy burden for all public educators. So I think that is a big, focus for us, is to give our staff the resources and the autonomy and the belief that they can do it. And we have great people and we can, and then just to keep up with the innovation. I mean, like you said, just in my 30 years, the classroom experience has changed so much with when my first year teaching, I didn't even have a computer. You know, it was, the grade book was in the lesson plan book. And now every kid has a device. We're a one-to-one district. And we actually, you know, have the means to be able to, if our kids don't have internet, we'll offer internet on MiFi forum. So, just to continue to update with innovation and technology, and it's running at warp speed. And that's hard, because I think it's human nature to want to say, hey, this is how I do it. This is what's worked in the past. And to get people to sit there and sit to constantly self-reflect and to re-engage with, how do I do this? And how do I improve my practice? And this whole idea of this continuous improvement. So I'd say those are two things. And it is, it's difficult, but those goals are achievable. And we have a great staff, and we have a great leadership team, and we're certainly not perfect. We have a lot of things that we're working on a daily basis. But I think those are two things. And I think those aren't unique to Berrien Springs. I think those are just what you come up against in public education right now. It's there's a lot of with social media and with the ability to communicate instantaneously. A lot of our staff kind of often feels beat up over things, and the emphasis on test scores and all those things are constantly, you know, on their minds. So we've really tried to improve teacher efficacy and really try to give teachers autonomy to continue to grow in their professional practice.
We all feel it. Students are struggling more than ever with emotional and behavioral challenges. Lighthouse Therapy offers virtual, hybrid, and in-person behavioral and mental health support that builds around your school environment. Our licensed professionals are trauma-informed, experienced, and trained to work with K-12 students and staff. You don't get a cookie-cutter approach. You get a partner who listens, adapts, and builds trust. Because when students feel safe and seen, they thrive. Learn how you can get support at your school at lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together. And I think when it comes from leadership, you know, when it comes from above and you give good people the opportunity to try and to try something that they've never done before, and the feeling that even if it's not perfect, that I'm moving in a direction, and you give them that ability. The worst thing you can do is beat up somebody who tried, right? Yeah. And I think all of us at one point or another in our lives have had something where we felt like we failed, and then somebody just like beat us up for it. But when you do exactly what you're doing, when you give your people the opportunity to say, hey, I think that I want to try this, and then they do it. And even if it's not perfect, they can self-reflect then and look at it and go, okay, this worked, this didn't, right? And then it's, everybody wins. I mean, because you end up with getting something better the next time and the next time and the next time.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head there, that failure is often our best teacher. Give our staff the ability to take some risk and fail, with that self-reflection piece is critical.
It's important, yeah.
How do I take the information that I gained from that day, from that week, from that month, and how do I change my practice based on what do I like and what do I don't like? And that's what we're trying to create, a culture of like, hey, take the risk. If it's great, keep doing it. If it's not great, then that's where that self-reflection piece is, and work with your building leader and work with your team, your PLC team, and figure out what am I willing to change, because that's what would be best for kids.
Right.
And that's the culture that we're trying to do and trying to create here in Berrien Springs. We have this mantra that we want our kids to run to us, but also for our staff, we want them to run to us. We want Berrien Springs to be a destination location for all public employees that would might want to come here and join our team.
Very cool. That's very, very exciting. So how do you deal with test scores and grades and all of those things? How does that flesh out with, because I know that's one of the questions that somebody that's in a traditional model that maybe wants to step into this, but what about, how do you handle that?
Yeah, we have district goals that are tied to proficiency scores. But we monitor all sorts of data. Proficiency is a big piece of what we do. We need our kids to get to that standard,
right?
That grade level standard. Okay. So we monitor that. We track that. And I'll be honest, we're not where we want to be when it comes to proficiency. But we also monitor growth, which is when our kids start in the fall, where did they end in the spring? So that's an important metric that we want to see. How much impact is our teacher having on in that year? So we monitor that. And then those are pieces of the whole puzzle when we're evaluating, you know, how we're doing in the classroom. And so it's important. It's an important piece. It's not the only piece.
Right.
We really want to educate the whole child. And that's about creating experiences, whether those be extracurricular, co-curricular, classroom experiences, so that they can be well-rounded when they make their choice when they graduate. Is it a trade school? Is it going into the workforce? Is it going to a four-year school? We want them to have some unique experiences. It's just as a well-rounded, you know, individual. And one of the things I would mention is like, Berrien Springs is a melting pot with our Andrews University here. I think this year we have 40 different languages spoken on campus. So, you know, Berrien Springs looks like the real world. You know, your kid goes off into the workforce or kid goes off to college. They're going to see all sorts of cultures and ethnicities and languages spoken. And we really relish that as a district. That makes us unique over some of our districts that are next to us don't have that demographic that we have because of our location.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just sounds like you've had and continue to have people that are forward thinking and wanting to do what is going to give the kids the best outcome. And that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard work and it's not for everybody. You know, some of that innovation and that forward thinking has driven people to leave Berrien Springs, but it's also created a culture where, we have a lot of people that want to come to us. So that's been exciting over the last few years. And in my role here is just seeing the amount of people that are interested in what we do and how we do things differently.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I know when I talked to Mitch Cummings, who's your chief strategy officer, because I interviewed him. I told you at the beginning we interviewed. It was a great conversation. He had me in tears, just about in tears, because of all of the kids that have graduated. Because he was really, really focusing on the alternative ed, because that's a big part of what he does. But it's just a beautiful thing when kids get the opportunity to grow with how God made them, right? How am I wired? And now I'm getting educated in a way that allows me to learn and in an environment where I with how I'm wired and how I think. I tell you, I'm an experiential learner, so I'm right there with the kids that want to do those things. Because you give me a manual, I'm like, I'm lost. I don't want to have to read the book. Show me how to do it.
That's a model that we're proud of. You know, like 15 years ago. Those alternative ed students, those students that just didn't fit in the traditional, didn't have any place to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the superintendent was here. Jim Birmingham had a vision of creating a place for those students that just didn't fit the traditional model, where schools were pushing them away. we became a place where we were accepting those kids and educating them. And our board has been very supportive because we know that that affects test scores.
Yeah.
The average student that goes into those programs is 17 years old and has 3 credits.
Right. They're way behind. Yeah.
And we're getting them across the finish line, and we accept that. And we've learned to educate them with our model to get them to graduation. And that model's changing. I mean, Mitch maybe talked about this, but it's not just an alternative model anymore, your traditional alternative. We get kids that are, they want to train for the Olympics in our mm-hmm. model for them because they can do it remotely and do it from home.
Yeah.
And so, the average age is coming down. The average number of credits is going up. So it's really evolving into giving kids choices on how they want to be educated. And Mitch probably gave you the static, but you know, we graduate about 130 kids here on campus, but I think we graduated almost 1,500 kids across the state of Michigan. And most of those kids in a traditional model would not have had the opportunity to graduate. And we're certainly proud of that.
As you should be, absolutely.
And we're trying to create that vision that all kids can be educated, and in that it doesn't matter what your style is. If you want to do it from home, we can help you. If you want to come in all days, we can accommodate that. Or if you want to sit in a classroom in front of a teacher and do it that way, then we certainly can do it that way also.
Yeah. Or they want to be there with their friends. I want to be around my friends, right?
Yep. That's a big piece of it.
It's a culture. Yeah. The society of high school is a huge piece of it. Right. So, okay. So one last question. And I ask this for most people, and you can't say money because everybody wants more money. But if you could miraculously fix one thing in your world, what would it be? In your world, meaning education world, what would, if there was one thing that you just didn't have to deal with anymore because it was just fixed, what would that one thing be?
Boy, that's a great question. I think if I was to, it's just that we want to love kids here. We want to make sure that's the common denominator. That's mm-hmm. When we interview new staff, that's the piece that has to come through, is that we're in it for the right reason. And that reason is because we want to help kids, and we love the kids. We have all kids. Not just the perfect kids, but all kids. So I would say that is, for the most part on our staff, we have a bunch of great people that love kids, right? But I think that's what I would change, not just about our district, but in education in general. Like, we got to be in it for the right reasons, and it's always got to come back to what's best for the kids.
And those kids feel it. They know when they're loved. They know when they're cared about, yeah. Don't they? Yeah. They absolutely.
Yeah,
do.
They'll run through a brick wall for you if they know that you care about them, and they know you're bending over backwards to help them get across the finish line. And we want to create a culture like that here in Berrien Springs. But my hope would be that would be the culture of all educators, is that they're in it for the right reasons, and that we're creating an environment where kids can feel safe and secure and flourish. And I'm not sure that we always do that in public education.
Yeah. Well, there's a human element to it, but yeah, but we try. I know I know you guys are doing a great job. So, keep it up, keep it up. So where do people go to find you and to find Berrien Springs?
Yeah. So we have we have a website, www.homeoftheshamrocks.org. We probably have all the social media tags. I'm not big on social media, so I don't know the hashtags and all that, but we're on Twitter or X, and I think we have a Facebook page. And so, you can go to
probably
all of those.
TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah,
and
probably.
All
that.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's part of that innovation that we didn't have a few years ago. But so we have a communication officer, and our website are up to date, and we're on all the social media sites for sure.
Okay. Well, great. Steve, thank you so much for your time and for your grace. I'll confess, I was distracted, and Steve was so gracious. He called me and he said, "Are we supposed to be doing this podcast right now?" And I was 5 minutes late. So, Steve, thank you for your grace and forgiveness to me, because I'm a human just like everybody else. And I'd have swore it was at 30 minutes later, but there you go. So I appreciate you. I appreciate your grace. I appreciate what you guys are doing. I'm so impressed by you and by your team and being on Brighter Together. So people that our educators and people that are listening to this podcast can see the amazing things that are happening sometimes just right in our backyard. And listen and see what's happening, and so many great stories. And you guys are doing it. You guys are a model of how education can be. So keep it up. Keep it up.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to tell our story, and it was great to meet you. And we'll keep trekking forward.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.